In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The invitation to sainthood cannot be rejected or delayed without great damage to one's soul. The parable in today's Gospel represents to us the various responses and excuses to this invitation. All the people invited show that they will not give up enjoying the goods of their lives for the Great Supper, or they place their personal concerns above the invitation. For the first one, his farm, or in the Latin text, his villa, so his house in a charming countryside, certainly, is above all consideration. For the second one, he cannot wait to try the 5 yoke of oxen. He cannot wait to start his farming business. And the third one takes excuses of his marriage to not respond to the invitation. In an allegorical reading of the parable, the good Lord speaks about himself received badly by the Pharisees. They were attached to the earthly kingdom of Judas, the villa, to the law of Moses, the 5 books of Torah represented by the 5 yoke of oxen, and the first covenant represented by the married one. And they were attached to those gifts received from the good Lord in a way that blinded them and made them unable to recognize the promised Christ. They preferred the promises to the promised one. They preferred the covenant to its fulfillment. In a moral way, in a way that applies to us, we are warned not to imitate the Pharisees, not to prefer the gift of nature and grace to the source of all goodness. All the goods mentioned above, land, work, family, are excellent and legitimate. Excellent means of sanctification, as long in seeking them we don't despise the invitation to sainthood. In some state of life, in some religious order, the preference is given in a radical act, a vow. In most states of life, it is done on a daily basis by using them, those goods, under the prompting of the Holy Ghost. Let us look again at the excuses given by the invited ones in today's parable. They are taking pretext of the goods they receive from the good Lord to ignore the invitation. The excuse of the third one, especially the one who said, "I have married a wife," sounds like it's kind of echo of the excuse of our first father in the flesh, Adam, the woman you put here with me. That's how he excuses himself for his disobedience. It looks like to take pretext of God's law not to work for its fulfillment in us. This is certainly the excuse mankind throughout the history of salvation has been very good at. In the epistle to the Hebrew, we read, "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirit of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." And later and further, the epistle says that God, he is a burning fire. And this points to the devotion of the most sacred heart of Jesus. This devotion offers us an occasion for the purification of our intentions and the renewing of generous and useful resolutions. The most sacred heart of Jesus represents to us in a very efficient way, the object of our love of charity. The most sacred heart of Jesus represents to us the most useful virtues we tend to imitate, patience and humility. Patience to strengthen our will and humility to enlighten our intellect. Most sacred heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.